so many things to talk about here, but it's an amazing time to be either the first to do something that no one else is doing, or to be doing something better than anyone else. And really, you've got to be the one who decides, because you've got this amazing opportunity to choose what you put into your brain, just like you would choose what to put into your body. And if you're going to be absorbing all the shit that's on the internet day in and day out, it's going to eventually get to you, especially because so much of it is going to be nonsense. You know, it's interesting that we talk about fake stuff, and there's already so much fake stuff going around online. Just the other day, I went to visit my parents, and my dad was watching some YouTube stuff on his TV, and he said, "Oh, you must watch this. It's really interesting." And it was a well-known international political commentator, and I thought nothing of it, and I watched it for about 30 seconds, and it suddenly dawned on me that this was totally AI-generated, that this wasn't a real person. It was some fan account, which I then had to look up, because I thought, this doesn't make sense. This guy doesn't blink at all. It all seems very strident and not the usual style of this person. It didn't appear to have any ums or ahs. It was very, very well scripted. And it turned out it was completely fake. Now, obviously, there's a place for that. There's a lot of good stuff that is being generated, that Elon Musk said this week he's going to give $100 million to Mel Gibson to use Grok to make a better version of the Odyssey, for example. I don't think that that's necessarily going to be all bad, but there is stuff you need to be aware of, and you need to pay attention to this. So I want to speak to somebody who I've known for a long time. His name is Lloyd Matthew. He runs a company which is called Untapped AI, and we've talked about AI quite a lot on the show. There are enormous opportunities coming up in the world of AI. It is mostly, I'm a proper optimist when it comes to this stuff. It is mostly going to advance humanity in ways that very few technologies up to now have ever done. You could probably put it on a par with fire, with the steam engine, with the internet. And I think AI is going to make everything a whole lot better. There are obviously going to be some lessons to be learned along the way. But I want to bring Lloyd on because he's the founder of a new company. It's actually been going for a little while now. They use what they call AI voice agents for business customer service, which is built especially for South Africa, which also makes it interesting. So let's get him on here and talk to Lloyd a little bit about his business. Hey, Lloyd, how you, dude?
I don't have any audio. Can you hear me?
Oh, shit. Let me put you back to the producers and let's see if they can figure it out. Hang on. I'll put you back there. James, just see if you can sort out Lloyd's audio there. Speaking of people wanting free things, half of the street where I stay is using my Wi-Fi and I only shared it with one person. Limited edition, change your password. Hell's wrong with you. And by the way, he also said earlier, this is interesting, he said, because I tore him up for complaining about how serious the show is this morning, but Limited Edition said something earlier about how his girlfriend and he are having issues because he's meant to be in charge of the money and she's spending wildly. Dude, there we go. Speaking of people wanting free, just change your Wi-Fi password, dude. We can't help you with that. You shouldn't be allowing everybody to use your internet for free, no matter how charitable you're feeling. You're not Michael and Susan Dell. The one thing that has changed human lives more than anything else in the last century is cheap, small memory. Do you mean computer memory? Or do you mean that humans have become really crappy at memorizing things? I remember not so long ago, I had an index of numbers in my head. I knew my own home number and I knew about 50 other numbers that I could recite by heart. Now, I don't know how many people even know the numbers of the most important people in their lives. And surely we've got to figure that out. All right, let me see if we can get Lloyd back on. All sorted there, James? Okay.
Yes.
Okay, cool. Yes. Hey, man, can you hear us now?
Morning. Yeah, sorry about that.
No, it's okay. You looked very, very serious there for a second. You were like...
Yeah, well, I was a slight panic when I realized the audio wasn't working. I was like, oh no, this is way too early for me to call out my IT guys. I was like, oh no.
All right, so listen, we've got a whole bunch of mutual friends. I saw you at a wedding not so long ago. I didn't know what you were up to. And then when you told me what you were up to, it sounded pretty damn fascinating. So let's just start at the beginning. Tell us a bit about your company and where you started and what the idea is here so that people can get some context. Cool. And then we'll get into some specifics.
Cool. Thanks, guys. So look, we founded Untapped Connectivity, which was the initial business I did about a decade ago. We founded the coverage map. I've been in the B2 space for quite a while. And over a period, are you still there?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, okay. Go ahead. I put you on the full screen so people can focus and pay attention to you.
Yeah. I'm just getting used to this. So over the decade, I got to understand the B2B space. We worked in the BPO sector for quite some time and got to understand the mammoth task of, you know, what the BPO sector has been after for the past few years and the growth that it has. And, you know, as I ventured into this AR space about 24 months ago, I started to get this beautiful idea of bringing these global hyperscalers here into South Africa. And that's when Untapped AI was born. We fundamentally tried to understand if those hyperscalers would work here in South Africa and with the understanding of our vernacular language, the way that we communicate. And I quickly got to understand that there was something far bigger than what I'd initially planned. And it became my mission. And I became extremely passionate about the fact that we needed to develop something here in South Africa, and Untapped AI was naturally born off the back of it. And today we offer AI voice agents developed here in South Africa, stored here in South Africa, using local infrastructure, local voice platforms. And it's obviously developed into a whole bunch of other things. I think naturally in the beginning, our moat was that we could do voice. And over time, it's grown into WhatsApp. It's grown into a bunch of automation features that help businesses innovate and automate themselves.
Okay, there's a lot that we have to unpack from this, but thank you. It gives us at least a starting point. What are hyperscalers, for starters?
So those are the likes of Claude, your ChatGPTs, your OpenAI, and the companies that are raising hundreds of millions of dollars. And in a world of these, I mean, you'll see thousands of AI startups happen within the next few years. And you know, the crazy part about these hyperscalers is they actually have the power to diminish all of them, because they have so much money being thrown at them, and the opportunities are endless. Who would have thought that creativity would lie in the hands of a developer? I mean, it's just mental, the worlds that we're living in at the moment. These guys are creating the most insane products. It's crazy. But yeah, that's them.
So many people are already using these, but I think your edge, your USP, you've already indicated this, is the voice side of things. And obviously, in order for that to be practical and useful, they have to know how South Africans sound. So what you're doing here and what South Africans hear, because we have a different way of communicating to everyone else. Sometimes it becomes, you know, a bad accent in a Hollywood movie. But even in South Africa, we've got 11 official languages. We've got loads and loads of accents. There are different ways that we can communicate. And if your large language models don't understand us, then they're no use to you. Then you have to type everything, which puts you back in the Stone Ages in terms of technology.
100%. I was just reading what Carl just said.
Carl, yeah, I thought a hyperscaler was efficient.
So, 100%, guys. I think for us, we spend a lot of time building the models, understanding the personalities, You see the likes of Nando's and a bunch of those guys create really great personalities online, and we want to mimic that in our world too. And so developing it all locally, I know you mentioned our one thing being that we're South African, and I'll touch on it again soon, but initially it was the fact that we got South African voices, and I think people will slowly but surely quickly adapt that into their models too. But what it's quickly become is a moat around being protecting your data and having data stored locally, which we saw OpenAI, our headline across the world, I think 2 days ago, where one of their models had leaked information. And that is pretty much what we had envisioned the entire time, was that you sit here with Claude and with everything, and people are typing out their entire personal life into these things. And fundamentally, it sits in an American data center, and there's nothing you can do about that. And anyway, it's just it's an interesting time, and I think things are moving so fast that the average person is commonly overwhelmed with what to do, where to go. And even on our side, our working hours have shifted from your 8 hour work days into a 12 to 14 hour work days, just because you can achieve so much. But yeah.
So, where do people mostly use the tools that you help build here? When it comes to particularly, voice AI voice agents, where are the best use cases in South Africa? You mentioned a lot of what you do is B2B, so it'd be businesses, but are individuals making more use of these?
Well, funny enough, just off a side note, our B2C meta campaigns actually do better than our B2B meta campaigns. Very interesting. But I think what we're starting to see is that consumers, whether it's business individuals, are using their phones in order to make business happen. So gone are the days where you can go and cold call somebody or try and find opportunities by outreach. It's often that you need to bring people in. The most common cases we're finding is obviously within your reception, your repetitive tasks, answering phones is going to be, those sort of opportunities are going to be gone. We're going to shift and see new opportunities unfold. But things that we are seeing is consumers are wanting instant gratification. And we would have thought that would happen with the Gen Zs, but it's actually happening right across the board, where you can
Really?
log a service ticket, and you're expecting somebody to answer you at 9 p.m. at night, because that's the world you're living in, and you want that instant communication. And so what we found is that if you communicate in 60 seconds, you've got 391% more chance of your sale going through. And so this is a world where we're living in now. If you've gone and I don't know, handed in your Apple iPhone into the store, how convenient would it be for you to get communication straight away, to understand where the technician is or
Right.
where that process lies? So service-related desks, obviously in your BPO space, and in reception, your reception areas are the three areas that work best from a voice perspective. But to understand it fully, Gareth, is that the voice is the introduction, and I think it opens up all the other opportunities behind it. But communication is going to be a key tool to use going forward, that can help business owners direct traffic in the way that they feel is best for their business.
This is a very important question again from Carl, who is on fire this morning. Lloyd, do you think all the hot girls making money on OnlyFans are going to be broke because the AI hotties will take over?
I have to meet this guy. I don't know who he is. What the hell?
It's a good question, right?
Look, I think so. Hey, it's interesting. I've had a few opportunities pop on my doorstep where folks, have introduced these ideas to us, and what our thoughts are. But I definitely think that there's some girls that might be a little bit shy might have an opportunity to show some random body part as opposed to her own going forward. But look, I don't know. This world is going crazy. Everything is happening. What you thought was never possible is now possible. And I suppose so, to be honest. I
All right,
suppose
yeah,
so.
I'm very pleased that you answered that as seriously as you could. Christian says, voice automation is pretty easy and you can create it in an afternoon. What challenges are you running into? That's a good question.
I think the challenge that we have is capacity. I mean, it sounds really terrible to answer it like that, but you know, there's just an abundance of opportunity at the moment. I think because we have a bit of a niche where, you know, we offer something different. A lot of these automation products are what we call wrappers or working into the hyperscaler model. We offer this locally based, proudly South African, store your data here. And, you know, by doing that, our capacity is always the problem that we're facing at the moment. But I think our initial problem that we faced is getting the technology to work in the way that we want. And there's constant improvements across the line. But voice is obviously the most difficult one to achieve. And that's why so much energy and time has been spent into it. From an automation perspective, I think it's quite simple. You know, a lot of the CRMs and products that are available on a global scale are quite easy to implement into your business. And so we help companies. But what I could suggest and tell people is that, you know, in order for automation or AI to impact your business, you have to start off with the foundation. And it's very important that you work on your data, because by importing great data, you allow for these automations to create great results. And so they work hand in hand with each other. And automations are the future. It's really the way that businesses need to operate going forward.
How do you, and this is a serious question in a fairly unserious world of AI.
Because I say still trying to get off the other question.
No, I just think that the amounts of money being spent overseas, you know, we hear about data centers and that's just the tip of the iceberg. But the amount of work being put into processing, into being able to create agents that can do the work of 20 people in 1 week that would take humans years to do. You've been working in this world for such a long time. You were there at the beginning of AI, and in South Africa, you saw the opportunity long before anyone else. But this is a tough question, because there's so much spam. And I spoke about this not so long ago online. I posted a video which got a huge reaction from people about how so many people are already annoyed by how much spam and rubbish there is out there. Do you pay special attention to trying to avoid the pitfalls of that?
Yeah, definitely a big question. But I appreciate it, because I think it is necessary. And look, I think as a founder and someone that's coming to the industry trying to make an impact, I think there's obviously a problem. And I think we go back to the core of where it all starts, and that's by exploiting people. And we've fundamentally gone in there, paid people really low salaries, and driven them to try and make sales, irrespective of whether that person wants it or not. And they would continuously try and do this. And I believe that AI should go and try and solve that problem. So, you know, the idea here of being, I mean, Poppy is there to say that, you know, if you go and reach out to somebody and they say to you, no, it shouldn't go back into the database. And what's happening is these people are refining it and pushing it. And I want to encourage a world where, hypothetically, you look at Garmin, you have a car, you fall or something happens, you have a car accident, Garmin instantly contacts you. And, you know, they can notify your next of kin, your insurance, you name it, you know, within a 1 minute phone call. And I'd like to believe that we could move into a world where we receive an AI phone call and we know that's value on the way. Now, I think we're a long way away from that. I think there's a long journey, but because we're locally based and we're very focused on Poppy, we're very focused on providing quality, that is more of our mission, is to try and make sure that people can expect value, can expect that, you know, something informative will happen from that phone call, as opposed to the spam. Because I truly believe a lot of the BPO owners that I do speak to, they don't want to spam people. The numbers sit in, they phone a million people, they get 3,000.
Yeah.
And you know they've got to get
Sure.
to those 3,000, and that's part of the process. So overlapping and doing their things, the problem, I think it ties into the KPIs that they give the staff. But to answer your question,
Definitely.
I think there's a 2 year gap between the time as when what we are today and what people feel about spam calls, compliancy,
Well,
copy, and where we got to get to.
You're right. I mean, AI will help us solve some of these problems. The things that annoy us, that get in the way, that are issues, AI will be a very, very handy tool in minimizing the effect and the irritation that those issues create for people. Here's an
Sure, yeah.
interesting and again, very important question from Vyasin, who says, have you yet created a Durban Charubot with a real Durban accent? That I see as a challenge.
So I'll tell you one funnier. I'll tell you one funnier. So today I'm actually recording a granny, and the whole idea behind it is you can't say no to a granny. So I definitely have to put that on my platform, you know. So I've got a number of accents, but Durban Charu, I definitely need to get one if Vyasin,
Vyasin
if
is
you're
he's
interested.
available. Yeah,
If you're
he's got a.
interested, I'd love to record your voice, please.
There we go. So this is interesting. First of all, whose granny is it? Is it your granny?
No. One of
No.
our staff. One of our staff.
Okay. All right. Cool. So what kinds of voices are you looking for? Because you obviously have to build up a bit of a database as well. Are you looking for people at the moment?
We are. Look, the more diverse, the better. And you know, your average voice, I mean, I've got a bit of a Joburg accent, Gareth, so do you. So
No, I would never have said Lloyd. No, not at all.
I'm thinking of finding someone really like a true four-ways, but that would be really, really funny. But we've got African, we've got a Cape Coloured, we've got Indian voices, and today we focus on Afrikaans and a granny. We actually wanted to name it like a Grab a Granny campaign, like because it's just such an interesting thing to have, you know. So anyway, this is what we've been busy with, and you know, this is what actually sells. This is the reality is people
Yeah.
still want to deal with people, and the better
Yes.
that your pronunciations, just the way that we handle that call, the more that people trust it. And all we need is that 15 seconds to go back into that previous question. Imagine I could speak to you for 15 seconds and then I could tell you about your whole medical history, Gareth, and say, you know, by the way, I think you need to come see us tomorrow because you know, the amount you're vaping at the moment is just ridiculous, and
Right.
something along those lines. But I think that's the world we're heading towards, and just slowly but surely got to pull out all the the BS along the way.
I saw such a great video the other day. There's this young Indian girl. She lives in Durban, and she was explaining. It's like a Instagram or TikTok. I can't remember. Anyway, she goes, "I just want to tell you quickly. If somebody says, hey, why don't you come over? Why don't you bring 1 2 potato and 1 2 onion?" And she explained how that means. That doesn't mean bring one or two. It means bring one. And I think that there's so many things that make South African language and accents completely unique. And obviously, it changes all the time too. Language is a fluid thing that
Yes, yes.
keeps moving. So you have to update this stuff all the time. And
Yeah.
it would have been impossible. You would have had to keep millions and millions of recordings before every word. Now you can sample someone's voice for what? An hour or two, and you can get all the important sounds that you need to create every other part of the language, right?
Yeah, 100%. Well, what's even one that's trickier is that try and tell a 50-year-old or maybe even a 60, 70-year-old man, a Zulu man, that
Yeah.
he's got to only speak English. So, you know, every third word lands up being Zulu or Xhosa along the way.
Sure.
And, you know, that's just, I mean, the same on the Afrikaans side of things. And so we land up with this multicultural conversation all the time, and you need to adapt. And so one of our bots can move between English and Afrikaans. I don't know if you've seen it. So we can actually switch between the two. Zulu and Xhosa is going to be, those are the two, I mean, it's a, as I mentioned, it's a capacity issue. And so,
yeah,
you know, the ones that are next, Zulu being the probably the next biggest or third biggest language in South Africa, then being Xhosa. I'm not too sure between the two, but those will be the two we'll solve within the next 2 months, 3 months. And by the end of the year, hopefully it should be all 11. But being able to flip a trend would be... Yeah,
sorry. Tracy says, please don't let the Afrikaans accent sound like Val Kilmer did in The Saint. Yarr, that was bad. And Richard says, I would love to have an AI answering machine to answer the spam calls and keep them on the line for as long as possible to piss them off. you can build that firm, right?
Yeah, 100%. Rich, just give us a shout, but that's actually hilarious. What they do actually is they build something called guardrails. And so you'll find on the AI bots that actually cut them off. And that would be quite interesting just to try and keep it alive. You know, you just keep talking to this AI agent for as long as possible. But the goal is obviously they structure that call in a certain way to get what they want, and then it cuts straight away. But yeah, that's called a guardrail in our world.
Look, I think that this is an incredible business. I'm thrilled to see that locally in South Africa, we're building our own agents to do things that will be able to understand and be understood by the local market in a way that no one in Silicon Valley can do yet. And this is also a huge opportunity because the businesses that can be built on top of what you're building are obviously also going to be a whole new area of growth for the economy. I mean, there are companies that will use your services that will allow them to do all kinds of new things in the market.
Well, funny enough, Gareth, is that South Africa, the average uptake on AI in the world on a global scale is 74%. South Africa is 79. We're higher than the average country. And out of the 147 countries, we rank 46 in the world. And you know what? Yeah, it's quite interesting because, you know, South Africa is usually 5 years behind everybody. And, you know, naturally, as we've seen everything. But funny enough, in the fiber space, we were actually one of the first. We were like global leaders in fiber. And what I believe was the case was that because we were stealing copper cable at such a rate, we shot ahead and we took opportunity. We took that opportunity and we became global leaders in fiber optics. Yeah. I mean, America's only getting fiber now, funny enough. And so I believe with AI, we've done a very similar thing. And for so long, South Africa's been kept back as like we get things later down the line. But with AI being so easily accessible, we are challenging global leaders every single day. And, you know, South Africans being the resilient nation, we've definitely been able to produce incredible tech here. As I mentioned earlier, I think, you know, being reliant on these Silicon Valley results, you know, we fundamentally always get the bare minimum or the raw end of the stick. Yeah. And so I'm so happy to be able to produce it here, remove the latencies, remove the accent problems, remove the data, the data breaches that could possibly exist. Keep it all here and live in a better space because we no longer need to rely on these global giants anymore. We can do it all here.
Let's just talk about infrastructure because we've heard a lot about data centers in South Africa, routing overseas. Why does all of that stuff matter in practice for anyone who's using AI and in particular the stuff that you guys develop?
Yeah, look, I mean, so when we initially brought it in, we understood there was quite a few reasons why, and I think I briefly touched on all of them, but you know, as the conversations get more in depth, I mean, I think these hyperscalers have done a really good job and they will continue to do a good job where the latency gets to a certain point where you can't really notice it. Now, at this stage, we sit below 100 milliseconds. And so that's just because our infrastructure sits here in South Africa. But, you know, as you use these wrappers, we call them wrappers, you'll find that the conversation can happen very easily on a normal, easy, you know, where the information's there and readily available. But I don't believe technology, especially as we move outside of these proof of concept phases. You know, most of these companies we deal with, we're busy in proof of concept. Everything's in development at the moment. But as it goes out and we talk about, you know, for example, you work with Discovery and I don't know, they need to figure out your ID number and they need to pull all the necessary information. But you go on the call and all of a sudden you want to ask about how, I don't know, the World Cup was. And so you need to extract data. And the more that those conversations happen, the more you're going to rely on those data centers on a global scale. And so that jitter, that latency will just get worse and worse and worse. And so, yeah, having stuff locally will allow that gap to be less than 100 milliseconds and allow the conversation to flow fluently. And I think that's the big gap that we have, or moat, what I like to say. And again, talking about data, going into that conversation with OpenAI, you'll find that the more that you're punching your information into these international products, your information floats all over the globe. There's so many different things. In order for conversations to actually be POPI compliant, you need it to actually route through Frankfurt. It doesn't come directly from the States, despite the program or the software coming from the States. It still has to go through Frankfurt to come back here, which means it's going all over the place. And yeah, I think there's going to be a lot of compliancy that will be followed, but fundamentally, I would like it closer. I think that there's a lot more safety in that. And so my biggest thing for people is, yeah, I mean, we can talk about the conversation being fluid, you know, sales being better, you know, less drop-off rates, a bunch of those things. That's great. But if your data is not safe, I find that like the boundary, you know? So yeah, that's pretty much what I think about the local storage and the data centers happening here.
Rickard says real-time language translation to bridge the language gaps in South Africa would be nice, so no one can talk behind your back in a language you don't understand. Obviously, you know, a lot of this is...
I love your views.
Yeah. These guys are all lunatics, but you pay attention to all the latest developments. I know you do, because so many of the things that I've needed to check when it comes to AI, I ask you about. What are the things that you're most excited about that you're reading and paying attention to now, when you see what, you know, the Chinese are doing, you see what the huge amounts of investment that are coming into AI, and we see, you know, Anthropic getting into trouble. We see Dario from, you know, he's constantly in trouble with the United States government. We see Mythos and Fable and all of these things being released and then suddenly being pulled back. Security concerns, hacking concerns. AI is obviously becoming better and better at all this stuff. What excites you, though?
To be honest, I mean, I think we all love to live in a world where we can live on a beach and, well, not live on the beach, but be on a beach and living on it might be interesting. But anyway, the point is to live a good life. And what I think AI is going to do, and I've already seen it exist today, is where we're able to develop and build our businesses to a certain point that everything can be automated in a way that it can reflect and transition and push traffic in the way that we want it to. We've seen AI agents, something that I've enjoyed, and obviously I speak from a voice perspective, but then the conversation goes in multiple different ways. And where I've seen it become really powerful is we've actually started localizing products like Claude. And what we're able to do now is allow almost like a harness to sit over your existing data and call it your CRM or whatever it is. And you could fundamentally go and ask, you know, Gareth, just for example, you know, where my viewers dropping off? What are the products or conversations that I'm having not fulfilling the needs of my listeners? And you see that data is becoming readily available within your CRMs. And now we're having a safe environment, which we're going to start selling soon. These AI agents that sit over and above, and we can start understanding our business in a very quick, orderly fashion to fill the needs and to fulfill the issues that we have within our businesses at a glance. And, you know, these can exist within a dashboard.
Well, you used a word that I've only heard used by the guys who do the, what is it called? David Friedberg, David Sachs, Chamath Palihapitiya, those guys. You said harness just now, and I'm like, oh my God, the only other people who talk about this are those guys. And
yes,
it's amazing to me. Like, you obviously are paying attention. Listen, I think this is a great business. I hope that there are people who are listening now who will be able to make use of your services. Where can we find out more? I saw someone saying something rude about your website looking too vibe coded earlier on. Again, these are terms that I've only ever heard with people who really know their AI stuff. But where can we find out more about what you do?
Cool. So look, in 2 weeks, the website will be have a very nice addition to whoever was looking at it now.
Okay. It's not going
to
be so vibe coded.
No. Look, I mean, I think we're always going to promote vibe coding at the moment because if we work in a way that it was, where we raw code everything, which we do most of the time when it becomes something that's there. But often, you know, we have to work at a certain speed to keep up. And, you know, these products that we often sell, we use them. But my point is we're going to release or launch our platform, which will allow the everyday person to add a workforce to their business, whether you want to have your CEO, your receptionist, whatever it is. And that's going to start off with voice. It's got WhatsApp, it's got Messenger, Brilliant. Email, whatever it is Brilliant. That you want. You can choose Sia, Lerato, Chantal, whatever you want as your voice, as your personality. You can design her in a certain way, simple and easy to use. And you can find that on www.untappedai.co.za. And we also on Instagram and TikTok at untapped.ai.automation. Lots on the go. Yeah, very exciting. Lots of developments, a lot of infrastructure being put up. And I think South Africa is doing super cool things. There's a lot of amazing companies popping up everywhere. I'm super proud of everybody that's putting in a big effort too.
Dude. I mean, you're one of the people that I think we should keep an eye on and pay attention to, because I think this is the new frontier, to use another word that these guys are always using. The frontier models, right? The frontier models. And this is where the exciting stuff is happening. So go and check out untappedai.co.za and find out more. And also, if you have a business that has a use for these services, then maybe you should be talking to Lloyd as well. Listen, dude, it's always nice to see you. We'll get together and have Thanks a drink so sometime. So, are you're not drinking anymore, right? You've given up on that.
No. About a year and a half clean. Probably about 5 years of trying to give it up. But then.
Okay. All right.
But a year and a half. But I can do coffee.
Well done. All right. I love it. Yeah. Okay. We'll have a coffee. All right. Lovely to see you, Lloyd. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much. Right, thanks, girls. Thanks so much.
Ciao, dude. Bye. All right, go and check out what he's doing. There's so much in this morning. By the way, I saw a comment from Judas earlier on. She said, today's show has been truly serious indeed, but was packed with useful information. I'll need to rewatch it and take notes. Have a wonderful weekend, everyone. Okay, before you go, though, Carl did say, no Ben, no Leanne, have they perished? No. As Janine has already explained, Ben is back next week. He is golfing today. And yes, limited edition is right. Ass is protesting against AI because AI has taken over, and that's probably why she's not on the show today. Correct. Leanna's in protest. She hates the show because there's just too much AI on it. Do you want to quickly throw this in before we go? Because Netflix South Africa's The Polygamist, which is getting a huge amount of attention online, has become a genuine global hit. More than 159 million hours of it have been watched. Over 16.5 million individual viewers within its first month on the platform, making it the 58th most watched series in the world since January, which sounds like, you know, number 58 is, that's incredible. You're up against House of the Dragon. You're up against all these series that are doing phenomenal numbers. And for a South African series that's produced here, I think that's quite bloody incredible. So well done to the guys who've put together The Polygamist. I still haven't seen it, but apparently it is a proper South African story and could only be told in this country. Has all the drama that people love. So go and check that out too if you've got some time over the weekend. We will be back on Monday with the first of next week's editions of The Daily Briefing. And of course, this show will return next Friday. We'll have Ben on next week. We'll have some of the regulars return. I just thought it'd be interesting to throw in three properly fascinating people this morning. And all three of them have got me thinking in ways that I wasn't thinking at the start of the show. Hopefully that's doing the same for you too. So, bit of a change to the normal flow of things. We've got to keep things interesting, got to keep them surprising, add some value, and that's what we're trying to do. So, let us know if you have any feedback on that. And of course, we will be back with even more interesting, exciting, and brilliant guests from next Friday on. If you haven't already subscribed for the Daily Briefing, you need to go and do that too, because it's getting better and better. It's less breaking news and more kind of pattern recognition. So it's paying attention to the stuff that's going on that actually affects your life. And if you are busy, you're the kind of person who doesn't have the time to pour through and wade through hours and hours and hours of bullshit on the internet just to try and find out what's happening in the world, this will save you a lot of time and hopefully some money and effort as well. So go and check that out. All right, that's all we got time for today. Have an awesome weekend, everybody. It's the weekend, baby, and enjoy yourself. Keep warm. We will catch you on Monday in the Daily Briefing. Ciao.